Romans 15:4 says that those things written in the past were written to us as Christians to teach us. So I'd like to look at a verse this morning, or a couple of verses in Genesis 5. If you'll be turning your Bibles there, we'll look at these verses in just a few moments. Me and Andy were talking last Sunday about people who buys insurance. You buy insurance for about everything there is now that these insurance companies push you to buy, basically. One car insurance got a man going around causing all kind of problems for people that you need insurance. One thing that they push the most is life insurance for those who are left here on this earth by somebody who dies. I knew a young man here in Morgantown for a long time. His mother bought an insurance policy for him, a life insurance policy, when he was a young man. And she died here a few years ago. And Jeremy Brown's this boy's name, and he told his brother that he wouldn't pay this premium on his life insurance anymore because it didn't benefit him. Well, that's what I'd like to talk to you about just a few moments this morning, about what benefits us as being a Christian is insurance for our souls. Where are we going to spend eternity? We have two choices that we will end up in. So we have insurance that we can take from God's Word. God's Word. Isaiah 55 verses 1, 2, and 3 talks about come take the free water, the gift of life. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. You got Revelation 21 talks about takes the free gift that you have, this free gift, this water, the free water of life. Also, Revelation 22:17 talks about the same thing. We have a choice of taking this eternity in our hands while we're still here. I mentioned a verse this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul said, do not use God's word in vain, but take this. This is a day of salvation. While we are still here, we have this choice. I'd like to talk to you about a man who walked with God. He walked with God. In Genesis 5, verses 21, I'll start and read down to 24. It says, when Enos had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Enoch lived 365 years, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Why was Enoch so pleasing to God as we read these verses and study from the New Testament about the things that why he was so pleasing to God? And you just think about a man who walked with God like he did. We hope we can be the same ways in our lives here upon this God's creation. That when we end our days, we will know that we have the hope of heaven fulfilled. This is our hope in a Christian, is that when we live the life that we live, we want to be, at the end of our life, pleasing to God. And Enosh was. He walked with God for 365 years altogether. We know that he set his heart, his mind on God, and at the righteousness of this time, he was righteousness in God. And he lived his life in such a way that he knew that God was always with him. We worry about things all the time. We worry about what I talked about having insurance for a while ago. We worry about things, and Matthew 6:33 tells us not to. That God is going to take care of you if you are a Christian. Also, 2 Corinthians 8:5 says the same thing. That if you put God first in your life and you seek God, 24/7. It's not just because we come together to worship God upon the Lord's Day. We have to seek Him in our lives 24/7, every day, every day. Every decision you make should center what God has told you to do. Christ Jesus has come here and left us this example how He fulfilled everything that was written about Him, even dying on the cross for me and you. Enoch walked with Him and all that he done, and he put God first in his life and everything that he done. He was such a man that I look up to as far as trying to lead after Him. And we're told in Hebrews about Him, we're told in Jude about Him, about how He prophesied the Lord's coming back with His thousands and thousands of angels when He comes back to receive the Lord's kingdom here. So if you want to follow after somebody or look after somebody, take an example for somebody from the Lord's Word and follow after. And he obeyed God to the fullest. We are told in Colossians 3:17, and all that we do in word and deed, do it by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That don't mean just in this assembly here. That means in everyday life. Everyday life, we grow and we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know His will a little bit more each day. Each day we study to learn how to be pleasing to God. That way we can test God. We can test His good, perfect, pleasing will. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Verse 1, it tells you not to be conformed to this world anymore. By the renewing of your mind, you can offset this world. This world is going to drag you down if you get involved in it. And a lot of Christians has a lot of problems with that. A lot of Christians, I did for a long, long time, I had a problem with being in the world too much. And this world will pull you away from what you God wants you to be here, what He wants you to do, and how He wants you to conduct yourself here. And hopefully you will one day be with Him for eternity. But Enoch did this. He did everything that God told him to do, and he had him on his mind all the years of his life. We mentioned a while ago Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. We also know that we're told in Colossians to seek things above. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. It tells us there in verse 2 to do not choose the things of this world. So when we look at this world, what does it have to offer? It has all the pleasures that we think we would enjoy. If you got a lot of money, you can have just basically anything. You can have the big homes, the big cars, any vacation, all the things you want. But at the end of your days, when you're going to leave this world, you're going to be judged on the good deeds that Jesus were created in Jesus to do. And that's Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. So you think about the things of this world, how it will draw you apart, how it will keep you from doing the things God would have you to be doing. And you start to drift just a little bit away from God's Word, and then the world gets where that means so much to you. It means so much to you. John 16, 15 and 16 both talks about how the world will pull you apart. And John 16, 33, Jesus said that, take heart, I have overcome the world, and we can too through Jesus Christ. We can overcome this world. We can overcome our desires to have all the fancy things in life, and we can start making deeds for God that will lay up treasures in heaven for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn there, I'll read just a couple few verses out of chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. It says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desire, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Here we see that we're taught by God's word. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, "If you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here we see that the Apostle Paul says we are taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. And it says you were taught to regard to your former way of life, to put your old self out. We walk by faith, don't we? That's what 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says. We walk by faith, not by sight. So if we think about that verse, we see all the things we desire in this world. We see things that will pull us away from God. And a lot of times we get where we want that. We want things like that. We want more money. We can buy more little gadgets. We can have better cars. We can do all sorts of things. But it will pull you away from doing God's will. I think it's 1 Timothy 6, verses 8, says that if we have food and clothing, be content. Be content with that. I know very few people that would, and I'm probably one of them. But that verse means a whole lot when you look at it and read it and study. So if we think about walking by faith, like 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and you look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, "In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So we have to change as far as being the end world or not of the world. We have to start doing the will of God. The only one that's going to go to heaven is the ones that does the will of God. Matthew 7, verse 21. That's the only ones that's going to be there. And Enoch was taken from this life, and I guess he feared death a little bit. I don't know. I think it says something like that in Hebrews 11, verse 5. But he was taken. God took him. And only two people God took like that, and that was Elijah too. He took Elijah from this world. They did not have to experience death as we will. One day we'll die. One day we will stand before God in our Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And there again, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 is a great chapter to study. It's a great chapter to study. And if a person would just start in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18, because it tells there in 16 through 18, and this is one of my own favorite verses I used to read to her in a nursing home. It says that we're wasting away on the outside, but we're being built up on the inside. How are we being built up? Romans 12 tells us by renewing of your mind, by constant studying God's word and looking at God's will and doing God's will. And then it says that we see the unseen things, not the seen things, which are temporarily, and that's all what I've been talking about, having homes and houses and everything we desire. We can see the things that He has promised us. Eternal salvation. Eternal glory with our Creator. We will be with Him instead of the devil and his angels. And that's Matthew 25, verse 40. If we think about the two places we want to go, then you wouldn't even consider the second one, that the devil and his angel. Why would you want to be in torment the rest of your life, like Matthew 25:46 says? One will go to eternal punishment. One will go to eternal life with with our God and our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when we look at these verses in here and look how Enosh was, he did all these things. It gives us a good example of what we should be doing in this life here. And over in Colossians, I mentioned this a while ago in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. But if you think back before in Colossians, it says in Colossians 2, verse 12, that having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. All right, it says that we have been buried, and that's the final step of salvation. You're buried in baptism. And when you are buried in baptism and you raised up from that watery baptism, you are a new creation in God. You have been forgiven of all your past sins, and you need to put God in your life going forward from that time on, seeking His life and His will in your life. And look at one in chapter 3. There again it says, since then you have been raised. There again, that raised is the same thing as used over in chapter 12. You've been raised up with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then it tells here in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. This is our goal as a Christian. This is our final goal as a Christian. When we die, that we have the confidence that we can stand before our Lord and give an account, and He will say, good and faithful servants. This is what we live for. This is what we desire to be in this life. And we have, we let the world pull us away from the things that we need to be doing and not the things that God would have us to be doing. We let it pull away from us, and we shouldn't do that. We should always try to seek the will of God in our lives and everything. And I try to do that in all my decisions now. I pray to God a lot of times on the decisions we have to make, me and my wife. I pray to God. I pray to God every time I travel, most of the time, because I pray for safety. And you know what that means. A lot of us have had loved ones lost from highways and accidents, but I pray for safety. I don't take that for granted. I pray when I give thanks for my meals and stuff like that. But when you get to thinking about Enosh and how he did this, how he constantly did this, then we know. And you know, Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, that if you come after me, you must deny who? First of all, yourself. You must deny yourself. And we are our biggest problems. Me, you, as far as that. We have been built up on the inside, what we talked about a while ago, with God's Word. But when we follow after Christ, we must deny ourselves. And then what? We must take up our cross, it says, daily. Daily and follow after Christ. So it's not just that a one-time thing that you do, that you can always be saved, like a lot of denominations teach. We have to do this daily. We have to live a faithful life to be pleasing to God, or we'll just be wasting our time. I read Ecclesiastes chapter 2 this morning, how Solomon had everything that this world could possibly offer. He got more servants, he got more money, he got more of everything. But then there on the end, he was sad because he knew when he died, he would leave that to somebody else that may not do it right or whatever. He was sad. And that's the way a lot of people are nowadays. They accumulate so much in this world that they can never become a child of God. Being a child of God gives us great responsibility. And the main thing we do as a child of God, first of all, you got to become a child of God. You got to follow the steps of salvation. And then you have to do the good deeds and works that He has set up for us to do. We sometimes take it for granted. That's all we do. Then after we're baptized, we're saved. After we come here one day, time out of a week or two times out of a week, we're okay. We're not okay if we're not trying to do God's will. And His will is that we try to persuade other people. Everybody has a soul. And every soul is going to go one of two places. One eternal glory, one eternal punishment. So when we hear this, sometimes we don't feel good about somebody saying that. I don't have no problem saying it because I look at it for myself. I look at it for myself that one day, and I hope that anybody who feels like I'm not right with God would say something to me. If I say something that contrary to God's word, I would hope that Andy or Robert or somebody would say something to me, even Carl would say something to me, because he would be my friend if he did. So that's the way I feel about God's word and living in this world. Money is so harmful to a Christian. And I mentioned a while ago, 1 Timothy. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you know, Job said in Job 1:21, I brought nothing in this world. I can take nothing out of this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped God even when he lost everything he had in chapter 1. He lost everything he had accumulated in chapter 1. He did not lose his faith. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and too many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then he tells Timothy to flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, and faith, and love, and endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession. So he's telling Timothy, he's telling us to do the same thing. He's telling us not to seek the things that we have in this world so much, but seek God in your life first, and he will take care of you. He will take care of you. And I know that the people that are sick, like we have a lot of people sick now, we pray for those people, and I know that God's will happen no matter what. But I do know that prayers is a prayerful thing. And just like Cherie here, we've had her on our prayer list a long time. And I'm proud Cherie's here today, because she's been through a whole lot in her lifetime, and her family has too. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful you're still here, Cherie. But prayers help. And so that's another thing that I know Enosh did every day. He prayed every day, just like Job. Job prayed for his family before all happened to him, that they wouldn't rebuke God in any way, that they would live faithfully towards God in chapter 1. He prayed daily in his life. We should be doing that daily in our lives. And you know, God's words tells us about this world so much. And you know, in like 2 Corinthians 4:4, it talks about this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and those who believe sometimes it blinded them too, and they fall away. And what makes you fall away is just because we get involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. We're around people that we shouldn't be around. Proverbs talks about being around a wise man and a foolish man. Don't be around the foolish man. Be around the wise man. The wise and the man will teach you the right thing. I think that's chapter 12 in Proverbs. It'll teach you. So young people, and we have some young people here today. So young people, you need to choose somebody who's got their hearts and their minds set on Christ. Be around them. You'll learn the things that will benefit you in life, help you in life as you get older and older. You can turn back to those things that you learn from a wise person. A foolish person will only lead you down that road of destruction. In 1 John 5:19, we're told that this world is in control of Satan. And there's no doubt about it. If you look at the world today, it's in control of Satan. We have so much, even in our government, has passed so many laws that are contrary to God's laws in today's time. This world is... there's no song, I think it says, is going to hell in a handbasket. And that's basically what it is. It's going to a place that 2 Peter 2:4 talks about. how God did not even spare the angels, but put them in hell, which is Tartarus there, the only place that word is used in the New Testament, or I think in the Bible. But there they'll be held for punishment until the day of judgment. And when we die, if we're not in Christ and in faithful in Christ, that's where we'll go until punished, till the day of judgment. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 tells us that Satan and the beast will be thrown into a fiery, fiery hell, that they will be there forever and forever and forever. And I mentioned a while ago, Matthew 25, verse 40 tells us that there is a prepared place for the devil and his angel. That's that place there in Matthew 25, verse 40. It's hell. That's what's prepared for anybody who takes after Satan and follows after Satan in this world will go. I'll turn back there and make sure that I'm right on them verses. But Matthew 25, verse 40, the king will say, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those at verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fires prepared for the devil and his angels. So I was wrong on the verse there. It's verse 21. That the hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And we are saints of the Lord. We proclaim that we love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, we'll do the things that we need to be doing to be right with the Lord. And turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11 just a moment. In Hebrews 11, it's a chapter basically of people of faith. But in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended for one who pleased God. Now look at verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Some of the version will say diligently seek him. So we see that Enosh was such a person that he seek God and always try to be pleasing to God. That's what we should be doing daily in our lives. We need to be seeking God and seeking his will in our lives, that we might be pleasing to God and that we might be able to one day feel like he did when he left this world. Enoch walked with God. He didn't live looking for the things that were seen, but the things that were unseen. He believed that God would always protect him and guide him and directed him. He believed that. Matthew 6 tells us that if we worry about things or clothing, food and stuff, we're not to be worrying about things like that. God will take care of you, and he'll take care of you in any situation if you'll stay true to God. Enoch looked to God's promises like Moses did. Moses looked to God's promise, and he finished God's work, even though he did one thing that God was not pleasing with him. But he was a man after God's own heart, Acts 17. He talks about people like this, we need to imitate, we need to go after. Joseph was another one. Look at Joseph, how he always pleased God, looked like in everything he done. And Daniel was the same way. Daniel, he writes in chapter 9, the prayer that he led to God. He said in that chapter, 32 times he mentioned, we have sinned. We, meaning Daniel too. But Daniel was a man that was after God's heart too, because he obeyed God. That's a good example we should look at. The things written, like I said, in the past is for us and our teaching. And we know what God done to his people when they disobeyed him. And all the Old Testament where they disobeyed him, many, many lost their lives. So we need to be like Enosh. We need to be like these men that we can look at, even in chapter 11, like we said, we got so many there that was mentioned by faith, you know, by faith that they did these things. And I think chapter 11 verses 13 says all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the thing that was promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a city for me and you too. John 14:6, Jesus tells his disciples there about going away. He's going away and he's going to come back, and he's going to take them where he's at. He's going to do us the same way if he comes this very moment. If we're true, we'll meet him in the clouds and never worry about things anymore. We'll never have no pain, suffering, crying, and things. All the things we look at in nature now will be gone. We'll be with our God forever. We have to stay faithful to God to have this hope of heaven. We have to study God's Word. We have to do His will. And we will be accounted for those deeds that we do. Again, we look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Whatever you do in body, deeds, you will be judged over. There's coming a day when we all will die. Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And we have to be ready for that judgment. If we're not ready, we'll be with the angels of Satan. We'll be with Satan. And that will be a terrible, terrible place for anybody to go to. So if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, you have this opportunity, like I said a while ago, 2 Corinthians verse, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, today is the day of salvation. If you're not a child of God, take that opportunity to come forward when we rise to sing here in just a moment. If you have sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. He is a loving, compassionate, great, graceful God. He will forgive you if you do it from your heart. And we know that we do fall, we do sin, and we need to talk to God daily in our lives and ask forgiveness of maybe it's a sin you think you might have committed. But if you need the prayers, and you've done that, of the congregation, we'll be happy to pray for you and with you if you need it. So if you will, won't you please come while we stand and sing.